Live from the Raceway at Belle Isle Park in Detroit, Michigan. This is Indy Lights, presented by Cooper Tires on the IndyCar Radio Network and Sirius XM IndyCar Nation.
It may be an overcast Sunday, but it is race day Sunday in Detroit, Michigan, as we are set to go racing for the Indy Lights Series presented by Cooper Tires. It's the Indy Lights Detroit Grand Prix race number two right here on IndyCar Radio. My name is Nick Yeoman. Thank you so much for taking the time to make us part of your day as we, again, continue to get ready for the Chevrolet Detroit Grand Prix of the NTT IndyCar Series coming up a little bit later today right here on IndyCar Radio. Our driver analyst is Davey Hamilton, and Davey, one race in the books for Indy Lights. Two key stories from yesterday's event. One up front was Linus Lundqvist dominating, but boy, behind him, it was quite interesting. A plethora of mistakes made by some of these young drivers.
You made a good point about that yesterday, too, Nick. It seemed like if you were in third place, it struck you. Bad luck struck you. It seemed like all the accidents were coming out of third, going for that second place position. And fortunately, Matty Brabham just was able to take over that third position on the last lap. Nothing happened to him, but you're right. A lot of carnage yesterday. Now, a lot of these drivers don't know what not to do, so we'll just see if they gained any speed, gained some experience from yesterday's race. But this treacherous, bumpy, tight road course here on Detroit on Belle Isle is very challenging.
We mentioned it. Lots of drivers with problems yesterday. Daniel Frost, Stingray Robb, Hunter McElroy, Christian Rasmussen, Jacob Abel, all having problems. Up front, though, nice, smooth sailing and Saturday afternoon drive for Linus Lundqvist. He led all 25 laps, and we caught up with him in victory lane.
At an emotional celebration, just had a couple of big hugs. Who was that there that greeted you here in victory lane?
It was my family. They're here to watch, which is awesome. You know, they come from Sweden to come and watch me all the way over here, which is nice. And, you know, to get a win in front of them is always very special.
And your family played a very big role early in your career, running basically a family-run team back in Sweden to get you started, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, they're still a huge part of my career, but obviously in the early days, we never really had the budget to go with a big team, so we thought, well, why not just try it ourselves? So yeah, we ran a family team back home, and we raced in Scandinavia in a single-seater series, so yeah, you know, they know the ins and outs of what it takes to be able to get a win.
And how did you get the win today? You started out front. It was crazy behind you. Did you have any idea what was going on behind you in the lead?
Not really. Obviously, I saw some of it in my mirrors, but that was mainly in the straight, so I just saw like a big snake following around, but never really know what happened, but just happy to get away with a win. You know, a massive thank you to my team, HMD Motorsports with Delcon Racing. They've done a great job, and obviously my teammate in second as well. You know, it's a proof that we have a great car around here, and a massive shout out to my sponsor for this event, Jula, as well. They've done a great job supporting me, and happy to get another win for them.
Two poles and a win so far. One more race to go tomorrow. We'll see you then.
Yes, you will.
That's race one winner, Linus Lundqvist.
With IndyCar Radio pit reporter Ryan Marine, who you will hear from along with the rest of cast of characters here on IndyCar Radio momentarily. And Davey, to kind of put a final bow on yesterday's event for Linus Lundqvist, does exactly what he needs to do, and he's extended that points lead now to 49 markers.
Yeah, he has a nice points lead going into this second race here at Belle Isle, but he still needs to pay attention to it for sure.
All right, so it's Linus Lundqvist on pole once again, his fifth pole position of 2020. Here's how they'll line up for race number two of the Indy Lights Detroit Grand Prix.
Here's today's Indy Lights presented by Cooper Tires starting lineup. Row 7.
Ryan Finney, United States.
Benjamin Peterson, Denmark and United States.
Row 6.
Christian Vogel, United States.
James Rowe, Ireland.
Row 5.
Kippen Simpson, Cayman Islands.
Ernie Francis Jr., United States.
Row 4.
Antonio Cervelli, Canada.
Daniel Frost, Singapore.
Row 3.
Jacob Abel, United States.
Matt Brabham, United States.
Row 2.
Christian Rasmussen, Denmark.
Hunter McElroy, New Zealand.
On the outside of row 1.
Stingray Robb, United States.
And starting on the pole.
Linus Lundqvist, Sweden.
So again, Linus Lundqvist is your points leader, 49 markers ahead of Benjamin Peterson, his teammate, who finished second yesterday, but kind of problems in qualifying for race number two yesterday. Davey, that orange and black car that's been strong for Peterson, going to start in that 13th position. His work is cut out for him today.
Yeah, it really is cut out. We watched him go to the back of the field yesterday, though, Nick, and he did drive his way towards the front. He has all race to do it. He just needs to be careful. 30 laps today, five more than yesterday.
All right, the engines have been fired here on Belle Isle. We are set to go racing for 30 laps around this bumpy street circuit for the Indy Lights presented by Cooper Tires. Got a couple good turn announcers to help us describe the action after they navigate through turns one and two. It's maybe the only one true straightaway down to turn at number three. It's a great passing point. And once they leave that 90-degree right-hand turn of turn number three, they'll come into the view of the voice of IndyCar Radio Network. He'll call the action for today's Chevrolet Detroit Grand Prix later today. We say hello to Mark James.
Happy to be with you guys, and welcome to all the fans filing into Belle Isle today for the finale for this venue, both for the Indy Lights presented by Cooper Tires and the NTT IndyCar Series. A clean line through one and two, maintaining as much speed and momentum as possible. Very, very important for that drag race and what is actually the front straightaway leading to turn number three. And then things tighten up and get a little technical. You'll take a hard right-hander into turn number four, and then four sweeps a little bit. And then you have a rather abrupt left-handed turn into turn number five. That one is important, too, in terms of its exit, because you want to make a clean entry into turn number six. That's a right-hander, and that is one of the longest portions of the racetrack. It actually bends to the right, then back to the left a little bit. It is essentially the back straightaway, but it sets up one of the best passing zones here at Belle Isle and one of the most troublesome spots on the racetrack, which is turn number seven, and that's where they will be welcomed by Michael Young.
Well, good afternoon, Mark James. Indeed, this is the troublesome corner on the streets of Belle Isle. As you mentioned, that back straightaway, if you will, mimics the shoreline of the Detroit River, which is immediately to my back as the field starts to make their way through turn number seven. It is a hard right-hander. They have to whoa the cars down. Potential opportunity to pass, and then they will make their way into the inner loop, which is turns 8, 9, and 10. They will do a left-hander. It's a little harder left. They'll roll down in the gearbox and then start to shift back up. Turns 9 and 10 are just a couple of quick left-handers, and then they will make their way into turn number 11, which is a hard-hander, which will lead them into the final three turns of this track. And after turn 7, Nick, they get tricky again before they hit the start-finish line.
Michael was busy calling lots of accidents yesterday. The two guys that were busy reporting on all the carnage were busy as well. Ryan Marine and Joel Sebastianelli for some final thoughts from pit lane. We'll start with Joel. Hello, Joel.
Hello, Nick. The theme down here seems to be rebuilding confidence and rebuilding cars after that chaos. Look, the guys near the front, they feel as though it's a new day and there's nothing that should impede them in this race. Take Daniel Frost. He lost out on what he called a guaranteed podium. Broken half shaft, just cruising along near the end, and bam, over one of Belle Isle's many bumps. Swap it out and start today. His teammate is on pole, Linus Lundqvist. He starts seventh, so the first-time winner in Indy believes they have the pace. Same with Hunter McElroy. Had an incident, finished 12th yesterday, but says they found some things, and they start higher up than they did yesterday. Third, like everyone else, though, chasing Linus, who did not put a foot wrong, Ryan.
Hey, Joel, thank you. And, yeah, a couple other notes to keep an eye on here today. Number one, I just got word that the entire HMD team proactively changed drive shafts after they've lost two over the course of this weekend, most notably Daniel Frost losing out on that surefire podium yesterday. So that team taking no chances and going ahead and making those changes. Also had a chance to chat with Jacob Abel, who was taken out in a crash yesterday. He said, yeah, we got our money's worth with that crash. They took out three corners of that race car. But he said he's got a great deal of confidence. That family-run team, they're starting to figure things out. They've been quick in testing. The thing they need to get better at is adjusting to changing track conditions throughout the weekend. They've had a couple of on-track sessions and now a second race of the weekend here. Keep an eye on Jacob Abel. He starts sixth, but has had good pace
we'll see if he can move forward today.
Yeah, he really has. Abel's been a little bit stronger each and every week as that kind of startup first-time Indy Lights team continues to get stronger and stronger. He'll roll off in that sixth spot in car 51. Lots of drivers looking for bounce-back efforts after dealing with a lot of adversity yesterday. The question remains, can anyone challenge Linus Lundqvist? He's the pole sitter. Stingray Robb alongside. Field already making their way out of turns 12 and 13. Stingray Robb pulls even with Lundqvist, but can't hang with him at the start. Lundqvist pulls away to grab the lead across the start-finish line. He'll bring Hunter McElroy and Christian Rasmussen with him. Boy, Stingray Robb kicked all the way back to the fourth position. They're going side-by-side for fifth as Matthew Brabham has the inside. He'll take that spot away from Daniel Frost. Field heading down to turn number three. Mark James, they may go three wide thinking about it for that fifth position.
Yeah, cooler heads prevail once they set up for turn number three and their single file, except for Matthew Brabham, who bangs wheels with Jacob Abel, forcing Abel off into the grass. He starts to make a quick recovery, though, jumps back into line to minimize the damage, and already Linus Lundqvist is starting to check out a little bit. He's got about a three-car length advantage over Hunter McElroy. McElroy doing all he can to keep pace as they head toward the Corvette crossover and into the view of Michael Young.
Yes, and Linus Lundqvist with a two-car length advantage over McElroy, then Rasmussen, Stingray Robb, Matthew Brabham. Those are your top five as they work their way through the inner loop. Linus Lundqvist unable to check out as quickly as he did yesterday as Hunter McElroy able to close in on that rear wing. Two-car length advantage for our leader out of turn 11.
Going to be so important in these early stages to just keep pace with Lundqvist, the Swedish driver who has been locked in as of late, winner of the last two races in Indy Lights, one at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and then again yesterday at Detroit. The advantage as they head for the start-finish line looks to be about five or six car lengths. Battle for second is looking pretty good. Those are two Andretti Autosport teammates, cars 27 and 28. McElroy and Rasmussen, they crest that hill exiting turn number two. We'll see if Rasmussen can set them up, Mark James, as they head down to the right-hander of turn number three.
And as they battle, the leader really starts to step away. Now, McElroy's got a little bit better breakaway speed on that long straightaway. He's able to buy some breathing room, but later braking allows Rasmussen to close up a little bit. They're essentially nose to tail now as they work their way through the very tight, very tricky portion of the course, which is 5, 6, and 7. And we mentioned if they can get a good clean exit off of turn number 6, they head towards 7, and that's when they can go full song and maybe break a little later and buy some momentum through the technical portion of the track, Michael Young.
Self-inflicted wounds was the order of the day yesterday, not only for Hunter McElroy, but for Christian Rasmussen, as Linus Lundqvist now checks out at about a 10-car length advantage. Again, that battle is for that second position. Hunter McElroy, and here comes Christian Rasmussen on the charge.
Davey, pretty evident that Hunter McElroy is going to have to use those rear-view mirrors a lot more than he'd like to just look out the front of that visor at our race leader.
Yeah, Rasmussen looks really strong today. I mean, obviously, this push to pass is going to start coming into play. They all have plenty left. They need to use it towards the end of the race, not the first, but if Rasmussen can get ahead of McElroy, I think that he'll be able to pull away.
We mentioned one of the big movers that was going to keep an eye on early in the race was Benjamin Peterson. After starting in the 13th position, Peterson has already picked off four drivers and moved that HMD Global Racing Group orange car into the ninth position, trying to track down Antonio Seravalli. In fact, he's going to take a look to the inside, heading down to turn number three, and he'll get by Seravalli. So move Benjamin Peterson up into the eighth position. Up front, it is Linus Lundqvist by 1.7 seconds over Hunter McElroy, Christian Rasmussen right in tow in third. In fact, second through about six, they're all separated pretty evenly by a couple car lengths. The leader, though, already making his way down the back straightaway, and once again, setting up for the right-hander of turn number seven.
Did take long for Linus Lundqvist to check out. As you said, 1.9 second advantage, Hunter McElroy. Now that battle is for that third position as Stingray Robb starts to attack the rear. Christian Rasmussen makes his way through turn 9, now turn number 10, as Rasmussen able to pull out again the battle for third. Rasmussen, Stingray Robb.
Davey, it wasn't a great start for Stingray Robb, but it looks like he's got it gathered back up here on lap number 3.
Yeah, going from the outside front row to the fourth position, unfortunate for Stingray Robb, but you're right, he is all over Rasmussen. We were just talking about how he is putting pressure on McElroy. McElroy's actually pulled away a bit, so I think he's looking more, Rasmussen is looking more behind him than in front of him, and then don't forget forget, Brabham is right behind both of them, just kind of watch and see what's happening.
Those are Andretti Autosport cars running 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th. And, Mark, they're all taking different lines down that straightaway leading to turn number 3.
Yeah, Brabham trying to keep pace, but he's having trouble doing so. So it's basically McIlroy, Rasmussen, Stingray Robb, who's trying to recover from losing a couple of spots at the start, and a little bit further back, Peterson and Abel mixing it up just a little bit. But back up front, the battle for the second position. Again, that's Hunter McIlroy. Trails by 2.5 seconds behind Lundqvist, but McIlroy, Rasmussen, Stingray Robb, Michael Young all trying to catch the leader.
Yeah, and for yesterday's race, Matthew Brabham just waited for the carnage to happen in front of him, found himself on the podium, may have to go on the attack today as Linus Lundqvist has checked out to, again, over about a two-second advantage. Then it's Hunter McIlroy, Christian Rasmussen, Stingray Robb, Matthew Brabham. It's that Andretti quartet making their way through 11.
And towards the rear of the field, we saw Christian Vogel swing a little wide. Looked like he might have lost a spot or two. Car that continues to be on the move, Davey, is Christian Vogel with that orange machine. As Mark documented, he just got around Jacob Abel, already up into the 7th position. Going to be fascinating if he can track down Frost and this 4-5 car battle for the 2nd position.
Yeah, it sure is. Actually, a really good race right now between Francis and Bogle. I mean, sorry, Francis and Simpson. And Simpson was just able to get around him. Good side-by-side racing right there. But you're right. That front, that 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th place, Frost needs to gain a little bit on those guys to try to make it. But right now, from Abel on back to about 9th, 13th place with Rowe, man, they're all nose to tail.
Working lap number 5 here at the Indy Lights Detroit Grand Prix. 5 of 30 here today. Linus Lundqvist is your race leader. And just like that, it is already up to an even 3 seconds for the points leader over Hunter McIlroy, who runs in the 2nd spot. 3rd is Christian Rasmussen. 4th is Stingray Robb. 5th is Matthew Brabham. 6th is Daniel Frost. Benjamin Peterson starting to run him down in that 7th position. Jacob Abel is 8th. 9th is Saravalli. 10th is Kiffin Simpson. 11th is Ernie Francis Jr. 12th, Christian Vogel. 13th, James Rowe Jr. And 14th, Ryan Finney. And we see again, Davey, this battle for 2nd is good. Christian Rasmussen is wearing out that rear wing of Hunter McIlroy.
Yeah, he gets right up there behind Hunter, puts pressure on him, loses a little ground, then he gets pressure behind him from Stingray Robb. So it's kind of like a yo-yo going back and forth between them. But right now in the middle of that is McIlroy just trying to keep Rasmussen behind him. But I think Rasmussen has a faster car. And by the way, we talked about it earlier with Peterson starting at the back of this field, already moved his way up to 7th.
Yeah, he is trying to run down Daniel Frost, the pair of orange-accented cars making their way out of turn number 2. Frost has the advantage right now, Mark James, but boy, Peterson has already closed that down to 4 or 5 car lengths, diving it deep into turn 3.
Keeping an eye on Matthew Brabham, I thought that he had lost pace with that battle, Nick. He had started to fade a little bit, but over the last lap and a half or so, he has closed to within a half a second of Stingray Robb. But I think most importantly for that battle, Matthew Brabham has separated himself to almost 4 seconds over the 6th place running Daniel Frost. So it's McIlroy, Rasmussen, Robb, Brabham. The battle heads to Michael Young.
And that battle for 6 was interesting last time through as Daniel Frost has Benjamin Peterson working that rear wing. As you said, there's plenty of gap between 5th place running Brabham and 6th place running Frost. But then again, that's where things start to stack up. Benjamin Peterson has worked his way through the field. Nick trying to take over that 6th position, about a car length and a half behind Daniel Frost.
Yeah, those two are teammates on the HMD Dale Coyne Racing Global Racing Group side. Daniel Frost has that spot, but Benjamin Peterson has run him down, running him down and not getting past drivers nearly as easily as maybe he picked off some of the back markers. As we complete lap number 6, it is still Linus Lundqvist up front. Let's check in once again on that battle for 2nd. Looks like Rasmussen's got a little bit of breathing room back to Stingray Robb, and Mark, he is again about 2 or 3 car lengths, maybe taking a peek to the outside, now going to the inside into turn 3.
Yeah, and he'll tuck right in behind McIlroy. Rasmussen has a fast race car for sure, and McIlroy has got the elbows out plenty wide. The problem being for Rasmussen, he's got to be careful where he takes a peek because he's got Stingray Robb basically right up underneath the wing. And Matthew Brabham is doing a pretty good job of keeping pace. And, Michael, you could throw the proverbial blanket over the four of them as they head back to you at turn seven.
But the worst thing to have happen is you take your teammate out and they're all four together making that right-hander into turn number seven. Hunter McElroy has about three car lengths over Christian Rasmussen now. The battle is for that third position where we have Christian Rasmussen and Stingray Robb. As you said, Mark, a few laps ago, Matthew Brabham settles back in, but those teammates at Andretti Autosport putting on a show here at Belle Isle.
And let's be honest, Davey, I mean, those Andretti Autosport drivers, a lot of them need to focus on scoring some points, so as much as they would love to mix it up in battle, I mean, we've seen Rasmussen and McElroy, Stingray Robb, they've had a couple poor results, especially yesterday, so it makes this four-car battle for second, maybe it added an extra layer of intrigue.
Yeah, they need to take care of each other for one. Team orders, I'm sure, says go race, but don't take each other out. As we see Matty Brabham coming off turn two over that bridge, almost getting that right rear tire into the wall. Last thing that it needs, we don't need to see any carnage out of that team. But you're right, they need to focus. Lundqvist, obviously, at this point, if the race was to end, Nick, 86-point lead over Peterson. Pretty amazing. Then 94 points over Frost, but then it's close. Brabham's only 99 behind in that fifth place, so they need to get points if they're going to have any chance of this championship at all. It's all about finishing and not taking each other out.
Yeah, it really speaks to the pace that Linus Lundqvist has right now, that we are working lap number eight, and his lead is already at 5 seconds. I mean, he is picking them up and laying them down right now at Belle Isle, trying to sweep the weekend. Davey, I want to ask you about that area of the racetrack, turn number two, where we saw Matthew Brabham get a little sideways. We've seen everybody get sideways over the years here at Belle Isle, that part of the racetrack. How tough is it to accelerate, try to get these cars to turn, and also feel that crest of the hill?
You know, it's actually a high momentum corner down to turn one. It feels good going into turn two, and you feel like you really want to get on the accelerator. But with that bridge right there, the elevation change going over from asphalt to concrete as well, there's just no grip there. Once the car to jump in the air, you're turning right in the middle of it. It's so difficult from the TV view and even being here watching. It doesn't look like that big of a deal, but it's like a little ski jump as Brabham comes off that thing a little bit sideways again. Very, very difficult. And we got one in the wall right now. Bogle. Hard in the wall on left sides.
Yep, car number seven, Christian Bogle, who had a career best run yesterday. A really great fourth place effort. The weekend going to take a turn for the worse as his car for HMD and Dale Coyne Racing is badly damaged. The left front suspension caved in. The wing is askew underneath that car. He hit pretty solid. And David, we're going to get a chance to see the replay. Boy, once again, that's out of turns 12 and 13.
12,
he's
yeah.
Not the first one that's had problems there this weekend.
Yeah, interesting that he actually got sideways there. We see Jimmy Johnson, the IndyCars, spun around. Bogle did basically the same thing, got loose, and then hit that outside wall, actually, in turn 13. So, big hit for him on that left front. Looks like he's going to be okay. Car's pretty wiped out, though.
Yeah, we see him moving around to the cockpit, but we have gone full course yellow as the AMR IndyCar safety crew arrives on the scene to tend to Christian Bogle and ultimately begin the cleanup, because there was a significant amount of carbon fiber laid down because it was a solid hit. Most of it, though, did appear to stay to the far left side of the racetrack. So Christian Bogle out of the race, looks to be headed for a 14th place finish. And maybe we see Ryan Finney, who's on pit lane as well, and some attention towards the left rear of that race car.
Yeah, left rear toe link is bent. That means he more than likely hit the wall somewhere himself, back of that. When you hit the back of the back wheel on the something hard, a tire, another car, that's what it bends. It's called the toe link, and that's why you get your rear toes in the car. And fortunately, that team, they'll have spares that they can just bolt right on and send Finney back out again. But something that we missed somewhere along the line, he definitely had contact.
Happy to report the driver from Louisiana, Christian Bogle, who is back in Indy Lights for his sophomore season, has emerged out of that battered race car and making his way to the AMR IndyCar safety vehicle. He appears to be okay, but again, out of the race. For more on that situation involving the 13th place running car of Ryan Finney, let's go to pit lane and check in with Joel Sebastianelli.
So Ryan Finney is separate from what happened with Christian Vogel. They're working on the left rear right now. Your observation was correct, Nick, with the toe link. It is bent. They had called for zip ties. They're working to put it together right now, hoping that he can get back out on track. But it was separate, just ran a little bit wide in one of the corners and brushed the wall.
So working lap number 10 of 30, hitting the one-third mark of this race, the Indy Lights Detroit Grand Prix race number 2 right here on IndyCar Radio. That was the voice of Joel Sebastianelli. Ryan Marine joins him on pit lane. Mark James ran Michael Young out the turns. My name's Nick Yeoman. Our driver analyst is Davey Hamilton. Here's a full field rundown. Linus Lundqvist is your race leader. Hunter McElroy is second. Christian Rasmussen is third. Stingray Robb in car 2 runs in the fourth position. That bright blue machine of Matthew Brabham is the fifth place driver. Sixth is Daniel Frost. Seventh, Benjamin Peterson. Eighth, Jacob Abel. Kiffin Simpson and Antonio Seravalli round out the top 10. 11th is Ernie Francis Jr. 12th, James Rowe Jr. 13th, Ryan Finney. And out of the race in 14th, Christian Vogel. Back to pit lane and Ryan Marine.
Rob Edwards is the COO of Andretti Autosport, and he joins us now here in the pit lane under the yellow flag. Rob, yesterday was perhaps a challenging day. I think it would be safe to sum it up that way for the team. Some of it was bad luck. Some of it might have been self-inflicted. But that's part of the learning process for these young drivers, right?
It is, and I think it's easy to forget that the guys are making mistakes yesterday. Most of them are in their first year. Obviously, Linus is doing a fantastic job, but he's got the benefit of a year under his belt, right? And was quick last year, and I think obviously our guys are trying to keep pace and keep with him, and as you say, they're learning. So challenging day yesterday. Obviously watching all four run together is both good and a little nerve-wracking all at the same time.
Yeah, they're all running pretty much in lockstep here in this race. They all started around one another as well. Was there any discussion about that prior to the start of the race?
There was a lot of discussion, yes. Clearly yesterday, it's always going to be challenging, but you can't do it to yourself, and we did it to ourselves yesterday, and so there was a lot of discussion both yesterday after the race and then this morning going into the race about basically executing, not making mistakes, keeping focused.
We talk about the value of experience, so maybe it's no surprise that the most experienced driver, maybe not in Indy Lights as of late, but you look at what Matt Brabham has done over the course of his career. He's the one that was there to pick up the pieces at the end and get the podium. How impressed with his poise have you been?
Oh, very, right. I mean, I think the beginning of the year was certainly challenging for Matty. Big difference between driving an Indy Lights car, driving a stadium super truck, right, or the trucks. And I think he's done that for so long now that there was a definite period of readjustment. But exactly what you said yesterday, right, when experience and a cool head needed to prevail, he was the guy that was there to pick up what he could.
Last thing for you, all four of your cars together, as we talked about, how do you approach the end of this race? What message do you give to the drivers now?
We've always let our drivers race, and the rule's always been race, but you've got to look after your teammates, and so that'll continue to be the message. Don't take risks, but they're free to race, but look after each other.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you.
We'll see if they look after each other as Linus Lundqvist's lead has completely evaporated due to the caution. Green flag back in the air. We are racing once again at Belle Isle. Lundqvist bends that car through turn number 2. His advantage, again, was up around 5.5 seconds. Going to have to start to build that back up, but Mark James doing exactly what he needs to do. Nailed the restart. Already about a 3-car length advantage into turn number 3.
Yeah, I suppose if there's a beneficiary to the caution, it would be behind McRae, Rasmussen, Rob and Brabham, but that would be Daniel Frost, who has a fast race car, and now all of a sudden maybe he can work himself into that battle for that second position. For now, all they can do is watch Linus Lundqvist pull away. He's already built up a 1-second lead now. Linus Lundqvist is flat flying down the back straightaway.
Got to be disheartening for those Andretti Autosport drivers and the rest of the field to see how strong Linus Lundqvist is. Battle now into turn number 7 is for third position. Christian Rasmussen has it. Stingray Robb wants it. Rasmussen stacked up his other two Andretti Autosport teammates. Rasmussen now able to check out, but it's him, Stingray Robb, and Matty Brabham Alabama making their way through 11.
Yeah, that stack up that you talked about, Michael, gave Hunter McElroy a little bit of breathing room. He pulls away from his teammate in that second position by about three car lengths. And now Rasmussen is under attack by the driver from Idaho, as well as Matthew Brabham, who is right there in tow as they make their way across the start-finish line to complete lap number 11 here at Belle Isle. Linus Lundquist, your race leader, by 1.3 seconds. Hunter McElroy in second. Battle continues to be for third. Rasmussen slid that car at the exit of turn number two. Looks like he's got the breathing room to hold off Stingray Rob for now as they barrel their way down to turn number three. Everybody minding their P's and Q's, Mark James, taking care of each other here into turn number three.
Little surprised on the restart that Benjamin Peterson didn't make more of an effort to work his way around Daniel Frost. I mean, he had worked himself up plus six on the day in a place that's very, very tough for these Indy Lights cars to make a pass, but he's fading a little bit in his quest to grab that spot from Frost. Meanwhile, Lundquist checks away, and it's McElroy, Rasmussen, Rob, and Brabham, and they're all headed back to Michael Young.
Yeah, they're already through turn number nine and now working turn number 10, but you talk about that lead of Linus Lundquist. He's already through 11, then it's Hunter McElroy, and then a little gap between the rest of the Andretti Autosports. Interesting to see if Daniel Frost and Benjamin Peterson, that battle for six will heat up at all, as it looks like Peterson got a good run out of 11.
Boy, it's just amazing, Davey. It seems like the driver's second back to seventh, McElroy back to Peterson. Just seems like everybody about has the same stuff. No clear driver with an advantage. The only one appears to be Linus Lundquist, who continues to pull away.
Yeah, they're all so close. I think if you mix them all up in a bag and threw them back out there, whatever position they're in, they're all about the same speed. Doesn't really matter. But one thing that for our listeners, and that they can't see this, the roughness of this track is incredible. You watch these cars go down, especially through turns 8, 9, 10, 11, really all the way through 13. The cars just bounce around so much. Tires off the ground. I mean, it's beating these Indy Lights drivers up. And by the way, this is their second race of the weekend, so they've already had round two, probably have some blisters on their hands from hanging on that steering wheel. But right now, a nice, clean race. And I tell you, it seems more competitive today than it did yesterday.
Yeah, tip of the cap to the fine folks working the cameras around this race course for our television partners, because they're giving us some great looks on our multi-screen monitor. And Davey is absolutely right with some of those robotic cams. When you get eye level on this racetrack, Davey, at certain corners and watch these cars slide around, boy, it is just so impressive, not just the IndyCar series, but Indy Lights as well, to watch these guys navigate these corners. And we see a battle starting to pick up. Look like Frost's got a little sideways, and Peterson wearing them out at the exit of turn number 11.
Yeah, it definitely got wide in turn 8. Got really just overshot that corner oh so slightly. That allowed Peterson to get up right behind him and trying to challenge him. But now that they're coming down the front straightaway, he pulls back away.
Hearing that the number 11 car of Antonio Seravalle needs to give up a spot to Ernie Francis Jr. for blocking in that battle that's been pretty good towards the rear of the field in the 10th position. Let's look at that battle, though. It is for the 6th spot. Daniel Frost, about two car lengths, Mark James, over Benjamin Peterson once again into turn 3.
Yeah, I was a little surprised. Again, that wasn't more of an issue on the restart, but obviously Peterson has gathered it back in, Nick. As we mentioned, he's plus 6 on the day, and that 24 car is in a battle to keep pace in the championship. I mean, he's 86 points back, so quite frankly, any point he's able to glean from this battle, Michael Young, might help him in the championship moving forward as they head back to you.
Yeah, needs all the points that he can get the latter portion of this race as it begins to spit rain ever so slightly in the back straightaway. Let's check back in on that battle for the sixth position. Turn 8 is where Daniel Frost made the mistake last time. He's cleanly through, still able to check it out about a car length or so as Benjamin Peterson closes back in. Again, that battle for 6 ensues out of turn 11.
Nearing the halfway point of the Indy Lights Detroit Grand Prix race number 2, a race that has been dominated so far by the points leader, Linus Lundquist, who scored his third race win of the season yesterday, scored a couple pole positions, looking to have what we refer to as a perfect weekend. As we hit the halfway point, Lundquist looking to score 2 poles, 2 race wins, and right now that lead is already up to 3.5 seconds over Hunter McElroy, who's got an 8-tenth of a second advantage over his teammate Christian Vogel. That translates to about 5 or 6 car lengths as they all make their way into turn number 3. Rasmussen continues to get pressured by his teammate Stingray Robb, who is a half a second behind. Matthew Brabham kind of struggling to keep pace with Rob in that fifth position. Then it's the battle for sixth between Frost and Peterson. Eighth is Jacob Abel. Ninth is Kiffin Simpson. Tenth is Ernie Francis Jr. 11th, Antonio Ceravalli. James Rowe Jr. is in the 12th spot. 13th is Ryan Finney. 14th is Christian Vogel. That battle for sixth looks like Benjamin Peterson might have a bit of a run, Michael, as they make their way down to turn seven.
Yeah, he attacks that rear wing. Daniel Frost able to beat him down into turn number seven and able to check out. Let's see if Frost can get through eight again. Yes, he does it cleanly, but certainly that time through Nick Yeoman. He was making the charge, talking about Benjamin Peterson. Closes back in on that rear wing out of turn 11.
Right on the rear wing through the right-hander of turn 11, but Frost accelerates out of that corner, puts about a two or three car length gap between himself and his teammate of Benjamin Peterson as they kind of slide their way around turns 12 and 13. Davey, hearing some reports of some moisture around the racetrack. Not sure we expected that to play a role, but how much rain or how little rain can affect these drivers around a street course like this?
Well, right now, I mean, there has been just a little bit of sprinkling going on throughout the morning, actually, but not enough to really wet the track. And say what we lose it where it's completely wet. You really can't see anything. There's no puddles. Right now, definitely not hurting them whatsoever. I mean, just a small sprinkle here and there. And it's, you know, it's just partly cloudy. I mean, it could come this way a little bit. I see some dark skies, but right now, so far, so good.
Yep, so far, so good as we continue to watch. Really some great battles throughout the field. Lundquist's advantage is up around 4 seconds, and Matthew Brabham taking some different lines down the back straightaway, trying to run down his teammate Stingray Robb as that Andretti Autosport quartet that has kind of locked down positions second through fifth. Really separated by about two or three car lengths, as they have been for most of today. Of course, later this afternoon, 3 o'clock Eastern, live coverage of the Chevrolet Detroit Grand Prix. And Mark Janes, let's talk a little bit about this event. Of course, right in Chevrolet's backyard, they got to be thrilled to have the young American. He's not young anymore. He's a two-time IndyCar champion, now in his 30s. But Joseph Newgarden on pole position, looking to win a big final event here at Belle Isle.
On pole for Chevrolet, they're looking to win their 100th race since they returned to the NTT IndyCar Series. And, you know, we talked to Joseph Newgarden about his car after he sat on pole yesterday, and it was really a spirited pole run. He was the last one to cross the line, and he took it away from Takuma Sato at the very last moment. And Joseph is about as confident as we've heard him in a while. Takuma Sato, Dale Coyne, and Rick Ware Racing, that continues to be a good story. Not only does Sato start second, but David Malukas will start sixth. Pretty good day for Meyer Shank Racing as well, with Simon Pagenaud and Elio Castroneves rolling off third and fourth, respectively, making up row number two. So, as is always the case, a lot of storylines, a lot of intrigue. The biggest storyline, I think, more than anything else, Nick, is the concern that the drivers express over how quickly those alternate compound reds wear. That'll certainly figure prominently into the race strategy, and we look forward to watching it all unfold today. Join us at 3 p.m. Eastern.
And of course, another big storyline is the Indianapolis 500 champion, the new one, Marcus Ericsson, back in action. And Mark, I think we've talked to him a couple times throughout the course of this weekend. Doesn't appear like this past week and all the media travels has affected him in any way. He seems locked in and focused and ready to go today.
No, I'd say it was a good sign. It's a good kind of tired, quite frankly, in talking to Marcus Ericsson. And I believe Tony Kanaan is one of those who said over the years that the only thing stronger than the desire to win the Indy 500 is the desire to win it again, because you know of everything that goes along with it. And, I mean, it's been a whirlwind week for him. He sounds like that the adrenaline is pumping. He's happy to be back in the race car, and he's pretty happy with his race car. And, boy, he could be the first driver to go back-to-back with the 500 in the following race in quite some time.
And it looks like we have problems around turn number six for Christian Rasmussen, who was running in the third position, banging his hands on the steering wheel. Davey, this is the same part of the racetrack that ruined his day yesterday. Another potential podium has gone awry for Christian Rasmussen.
Yeah, right front suspension bent up, wheel folded back, definitely done for the day. Didn't see what happened yet. We'll see a replay. We know he was leading that back. Oh, we'll see. Watch. Oh, down in turn, actually, that is turn seven. I'm sorry, turn five. Just went too wide. hit that outside barrier very hard and really just a, he was really on his own right there. Really no pressure in front of him or really behind him to speak of. No more than he's had all day, but oh man, just a big mistake on turning until too late.
Davey, I mean, that's almost a mirror image of the mistake that he made yesterday as well. What is it about that corner? Obviously Christian Rasmus will probably tell us, but what is it about that corner that can stick out and grab you?
Well, what it is, it's blind. You can't see the apex when you come off at turn four and you're looking for turn five. And kind of, there's an inside wall that's really high, and you cannot see the apex until it's almost too late. But you just kind of have to feel it at first. But once you know it's there, it's kind of there. And he might have tried just driving in a little bit deeper, or who knows what he did. But obviously the wrong thing, because it got him up high and into that outside barrier.
So for the second straight day, that 28 machine for Andretti Autosport is pulled behind the barrier at the exit, the far left side of turn number six. A season for Christian Rasmussen that has shown incredible pace, but also a lot of mistakes and some accidents as well, as he is going to sustain another DNF, right now sitting seventh in the points championship. A guy that a lot of people looked at as maybe someone who could contend with Linus Lundqvist for this title simply has not been the case. This will set up another full course yellow with 11 laps to go. Linus Lundqvist is your race leader. Hunter McElroy is second. Once again, a driver sitting in the third position has bad luck, so that'll move Stingray Robb up to third. Fourth now is Matthew Brabham. Daniel Frost sits in that fifth spot. He's been doing a great job of holding off that Origin Black car of Benjamin Peterson, who's put the pressure on running in sixth. Jacob Abel, one of the Indy Lights rookies, runs in seventh. Kiffin Simpson is eighth. Ernie Francis Jr. is ninth. Antonio Saravalli, 10th. James Rowe Jr., 11th. Christian Rasmussen out of the race right now in 12th. He will fall to 13th behind Ryan Finney, who is currently one lap down. And again, Rasmussen will join Christian Vogel out of the race. And, you know, Davey, we heard from Rob Edwards that, how you got to have conversations with these young drivers. What would you tell Christian Rasmussen if you were coaching him up after what we've seen, just a lot of mistakes early on in this season?
Well, and it's the same thing you tell any driver in any series, is that don't overdrive the car. Don't try to do something that the car isn't there to do, and that's one. It's not going to stick on that outside line. You got to make sure you hit your marks perfectly. And when there's not really any pressure, I mean, it's not last lap, and it's not, threatening for a position. You need to make sure you hit your marks every time. And that's part of being a good racing driver, is you got to make sure that you stay focused the entire race and cut the mistakes. Risk the reward. And looks like he was trying to, really nothing to make up. Really no need for him to try to overdrive that corner for whatever happened to slide up. But unfortunate for him, because it was a pretty good hit.
And we see Rasmussen hopping into the AMR safety team vehicle, where he will be taken to the infield care center. Again, walking under his own power, appears to be okay. More than anything, just super, super frustrated in what has been a disappointing weekend, with two crashes now around turns five and six here in the Indy Lights Series presented by Cooper Tires. So, Davey, for the second time in this race, the advantage that Linus Lundqvist had disappears, and normally I think that would be a concern, but boy, he has been so good, not only at the initial start of the race, but on that last restart, he absolutely nailed it.
He absolutely nailed it, and one thing that he has in his back pocket is the push to pass. They've changed it up a little bit for this event, and he has more time left than anybody else on the chart. So, matter of fact, Francis Jr., who runs in the ninth position, he has zero. He's already used all of his push to pass, which is way too early in this race to do that. But majority of the drivers have about the same. Peterson, you know, he had to come from the back, Nick, and try to. He's in sixth position right now, so he had to use a lot of his. He's down to 49 seconds.
So we will restart with nine laps to go. Lundqvist, McElroy, Robb, Brabham, Frass, Frost, the top five. They'll accelerate out of turns 12 and 13. Lundqvist is on it, already pulling about a 2 to 3 car length gap over Hunter McElroy. Across the start-finish line, they'll make the double bend into turns 1 and 2 to the right, back to the left. Lundqvist, though, is on it, already up to about a half a second as they string coming down that long straightaway leading to turn number three. Mark, it's a healthy advantage for our race leader. Call it four car lengths.
Safety truck had to slip off the racetrack, and about five spots back, we figured Benjamin Peterson would kind of get more aggressive on this restart in his quest to grab that fifth spot from Daniel Frost. A lot of brake smoke comes off of that car, but he's not able to grab the spot. However, Daniel Frost did not lead any breathing room at all from that. Looks like there might be an issue with the 51 car of Abel. He is slow. He gets to the inside. The entire field starts going by Abel. He was in the eighth position, but Michael Young, he's dropping like a stone.
He certainly is, as he just now enters a picture of turn number seven. Back up front, Linus Lundqvist already 10 car length advantage. Comfortable advantage for Hunter McElroy in that second position. Rob, then Matthew Brabham in the fourth position. That battle again heating up. It's Daniel Frost in the fifth position. Benjamin Peterson wants it. He's running sixth.
Yep, right on that rear wing. Matthew Brabham also continues to put the pressure on Stingray Rob as they slice and dice their way through turns 12 and 13, watching those cars get awful light over the bumps here on Belle Isle. Again, problems, though, for Jacob Abel. And, Davey, we think it might be a flat tire on that 51 car.
It looks to me, Nick, like he has a left or right rear flat tire. It seems too hard to tell. It's not all the way low on the rim. Just seemed to be a little low from what I can see.
So we'll see once he gets back to pit lane. But it was a sudden slowing down that back straightaway. And Abel was running inside the top eight. So he falls all the way back to the 11th position as he'll make his way to pit lane. Again, watching this battle, Benjamin Peterson. Mark Janes, I imagine Daniel Frost got to be tired of seeing that orange and black car in his rearview mirrors. He's been wearing them out once again, exiting that back straightaway. Michael Young, that battle actually now heading to you down to the right-hander turn seven.
Yeah, but I tell you, Daniel Frost has done a great job holding off Benjamin Peterson. Peterson has been very good in this 2022 campaign, getting around drivers, but thus far cannot get around the machine of Daniel Frost. They'll make their way through turn number 10. Now work to that right-hander of turn number 11. But again, Nick, Daniel Frost about a two-car length advantage as they exit that right-hander.
Those two, Davey, might be catching Matthew Brabham. Looks like he might have overcooked it a little bit into turn 7 a lap ago.
Yeah, he sure did. You've seen him just driving a little too deep, got in that high groove, got it gathered up, didn't hit anything, but lost some valuable time. He was right on the back of Stingray Rob's wing. Now he's fallen back about 10 car lengths, and that allows Frost and Peterson to get right on the back of it.
And we've got problems now for Ernie Francis Jr., who has looped it around turn 12 and 13. That car is pointed in the wrong direction, trying to get that Force Indy machine. Car 99, red and black, spun back around. No threat for the rest of the field coming. Francis does a good job, pulls a 180 and lights those rear tires up, so he will rejoin at the back of the lead lap. He runs in the 10th position, and boy, we see Jacob Abel now off into the runoff area of turn number three. He's going to have to get that car spun back around. And Ryan Marine, you have more on the initial issues for Jacob Abel.
It had something to do with the powertrain, guys, and I heard the team say that it sounded like, or felt to Jacob like maybe the turbo wasn't functioning appropriately. They weren't quite sure. They brought him in, they took a quick look at the car, and they couldn't diagnose anything immediately, so they sent him back out, and now he's had this off-track moment, so I'll follow up and see if we can learn more.
So, again, Christian Bogle and Christian Rasmussen out of the race in 13th and 14th. The problems for Jacob Abel have dropped him to 12th. 11th is Ryan Finney. 10th is Ernie Francis Jr., who just had a spin, and then the nine drivers that have been able to avoid incidents currently out of the racetrack, separated from the leader, Linus Lundqvist, back to ninth place running James Rowe Jr., about 12.6 seconds back. And you know, Mark Janes, we watched these drivers make their way through turn number two towards the end of the lead lap, and got to tip the cap to Kiffin Simpson, who's doing a good job kind of hanging with Benjamin Peterson. He's had a good view of this battle over the last several laps.
Yeah, I don't know that Peterson is necessarily fast enough to get himself in position to work his way around Daniel Frost, but I guess he's hoping at this point maybe the grip's starting to go away, and he's hoping to force Benjamin Frost into Daniel Frost into a mistake. But Peterson is starting to have his own set of concerns behind him, because as you mentioned, the rookie Kiffin Simpson is really working hard to try to make that a three-car battle down that back straightaway.
And here can they come into turn number seven, talking about that battle for fifth, sixth, and seventh. And Kiffin Simpson probably has the best of it. He's closed in on that rear wing of Benjamin Peterson as Daniel Frost has been able to check out by about three car lengths. So make that right-hander into turn number 11. But it is Kiffin Simpson who is in the on the charge in the latter portion of this race.
Davey, you maybe worried that Benjamin Peterson used up those Cooper tires driving as hard as he did early in this race?
Well, for sure. I don't know that they're used up completely, but he has the least amount of push and passes of all those cars running up front. So he definitely used that up. And it looks like he has pace. He just can't get by Frost. Looks like he gets right up to him, loses that downforce, gets in that dirty air, and can't do anything with him. That allows Simpson to pull up the back end, but same thing. He's kind of in the middle of that sandwich with a yo-yo back and forth.
Well, he is right in the draft, Mark James, trying to set him up for turn number three.
And he goes to the high side, and they go side by side into the corner, and they run out of room, and Peterson is trying to get to the bottom side, and all that slicing and dicing has indeed allowed Kiffin Simpson to close right up and make that a three-car battle. Good news for Frost. He's able to check out a little bit. So now Peterson's focus is strictly upon holding off Kiffin Simpson. This is the battle for fifth, Michael Young, as it heads to turn seven.
And they get ready to set up for turn number seven. And Daniel Frost swings that car wide, left sides, nearly on that concrete wall. But Frost able to gap himself by about three car lengths. Benjamin Peterson regrouping, now able to gap himself over Kiffin Simpson by about three car lengths. So the inner loop kind to all three of those drivers as nobody really on the attack as we have Ryan Finney in the runoff.
It's kind of an accordion effect. It tightens up, then it loosens up, and then it tightens right back up again. Up front, though, no problems for Linus Lundqvist. His advantage called about 20 car lengths on the front straightaway with just four laps to go. The lead is now 2.7 seconds. Stingray Robb sitting in that third spot continues to put the pressure on Hunter McElroy, who sits in second. Those two have pulled away a bit over Matthew Brabham, who runs fourth. Brabham's got a four-second gap back to that battle that for fifth that we have been documented. It's a three-car battle for fifth, sixth, and seventh. Frost, Peterson, and Simpson. Antonio Saravalli sits in eighth. Ninth is James Rowe Jr. Tenth is Ernie Francis Jr. 11th, Ryan Finney. 12th, Jacob Abel. 13th, Christian Rasmussen. And 14th, Christian Vogel out of the race. Let's take a look once again at that battle for second, Michael Young. Hunter McElroy has it. Call it four or five car lengths as they make their way down to turn seven.
Yeah, and Stingray Robb has really closed in the last handful of laps, Nick Yeoman, as Hunter McElroy makes that right-hander, now works the left-hander of turn number eight. Robb's about three car lengths, now four car lengths behind. He really does a good job attacking down into turn number seven, but the inner loop very kind to Hunter McElroy as he's able to negotiate that a little bit better, but they'll tighten up again as they work these final three turns.
Davey, this race five laps longer than yesterday. What's an extra five laps around bumpy Belle Isle due to those Cooper tires?
Well, you know, it's going to take them to the max of what they have to offer. I mean, they're definitely getting more down. They're hot. We've got a couple restarts, which that puts heat cycles into the tires. The more heat cycles, the harder the tire is to get back up to temperature. But right now, I have to say, everybody looks like they're kind of set where they are. I'm just curious and watching the push to pass. I know our leader still has 108 seconds left. McElroy with 30. Hunter or Robb with 54, so quite a bit more than the car before him and behind it, because Brabham only has 18. Brabham's using it right now just to keep up. He should wait and use that later in case of another restart and use it for passing, not just to keep up.
Davey, let's expand on that idea of heat cycles for these tires for folks that don't know. If you're a race car driver, would you prefer a straight 30 laps where the tires stay at a consistent temperature throughout, or would you like to have those things cooled down with multiple cautions like we've seen today?
Well, it kind of depends on what your car is doing. There's sometimes that you do overheat these tires, Nick, and if that's the situation, you know, you do like those yellow flags just to cool your tires off if you're making a big run. But if your car's right, it uses those tires pretty equally, and I would like to go green to the next pit stop, because what that does, the heat cycles, every time they heat up or cool down, that puts what we call heat cycles in the tire, makes them harder, the rubber harder, and it's harder to get heat back into those tires, and they lose grip every time that they go through that heat cycle. So if your car is not good and they're getting overheated, yes, it is an advantage to get them cooled down, but but for example, with Lundqvist, no. I mean, he wants to stay out front and just go. I'm pretty sure his tires, all four, weren't exactly the same as fast as he is.
Sand running out of the hourglass here in Indy Lights Detroit Grand Prix race number two. Linus Lundqvist's advantage is 2.3 seconds over Hunter McElroy, who is really having to work to stay in front of Stingray Robb. Mark, that continues to be a really good battle for the second step of the podium.
Yeah, but Matthew Brabham's going to tell you he had a fourth-place car today. He's not going to have a third-place car, we don't think, unless something unforeseen happens, but there is no question. Stingray Robb is not ready to settle for that third spot on the podium, Michael Young, as he tries to track down Hunter McElroy into turn seven.
And he's all over that rear wing, nearly goes on the attack. Remember, that's where he lost it yesterday, and Matthew Brabham had a fourth-place car yesterday, but was given that third-place step as we had incidents in front of him. Well, that happened today. Stingray Robb trying to get around his teammate. Just a couple of circuits left to go.
Yep, really putting the pressure on for second. We'll stay with that battle up front, though. Linus Lundqvist's advantage right at 3 seconds. And as he makes his way back out of the front straightaway, he will see the white flag here at Belle Isle, streaking underneath the flag stand across the start-finish line. He led 25 laps yesterday from pole position to win. He's led 29 with one to go here at Detroit. Mark, Linus Lundqvist on his final trip around the racetrack as we continue to watch that battle for second.
Over the years, Rafa Matos, Alex Lloyd, Jay Howard, Wade Cunningham, all of those champions who had dominant runs. Nick, I go back to 2003. Mark Taylor won the Lights Championship that year with 3 races to go, and that was missing a race during that season due to illness. And Michael Young, let's face it, that kind of dominance is being displayed by Linus Lundqvist so far in this campaign.
Indeed it is, and if you look back on these record books here on the streets of Belle Isle, Linus Lundqvist's name will be the last you'll ever see as a winner if he can complete the remainder of this race. Battle for second has somewhat settled back down, but Linus Lundqvist works his way through turn number 9, now turn number 10, and that final right-hander, turn number 11, just 3 turns to go.
Trying to cap off an absolutely perfect weekend for Linus Lundqvist. It'll be his 4th win of this 2022 Indy Lights campaign. He's your points leader. That lead continues to build, and for the second time this weekend, Linus Lundqvist is going to go to victory lane. The Swedish driver Lundqvist sweeps the weekend, scoring another victory here at Belle Isle. Hunter McElroy comes home in second. He holds off Stingray Robb by just 0.3 seconds. It'll be Lundqvist, McElroy, and Robb. Your podium, Matthew Brabham finishes 4th. Daniel Frost, 5th. Davey Hamilton, we'll get a quick final thought from you. What a weekend for Linus Lundqvist.
Man, what is it going to take to stop this guy? By the way, he has 108 seconds left in his push and pass. Didn't even hardly use any of that, Nick. So he is on a rail. That team has the car, obviously, to his liking. He's doing an outstanding job, doing what he needs to do to dominate right now in this series. And, man, the championship is definitely his to lose. And with this big of a lead, matter of fact, 84 points over Peterson right now. So good run by him. And like I say, the last guy in the record books to win a race here in Belle Isle.
Boy, this HMD, Dale Coyne Racing Group, the team that they have put together and the cars that they are giving Linus Lundqvist, flat out impressive, as now Lundqvist has won 4 of 6 races this season. And Mark James will bring you in for some final thoughts. You anchored these Indy Lights races for many, many years. This is always a championship that usually goes right down to the wire. If that's going to be the case in 2022, somebody's going to have to figure out what to do with Linus Lundqvist.
Well, and I think we've gotten to the point to where, quite frankly, no one else can win the championship. I mean, he's got to string together some bad luck, and he's got to lose it. And I don't see any indication that's part of his makeup. I mean, this is going to be one of the most dominant performances that we have seen in this series in quite some time. It is a rarity for sure. It's nothing like the slugfest we saw last year between Kirkwood and David Malukas.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen some really good battles over the years. We saw, Renus VK and Oliver Askew go toe-to-toe. I remember Jack Harvey and Gabby Chavez slugged it out for a championship. There have been a lot of really good battles in Indy Lights, but the show is no doubt the Swedish driver, Linus Lundqvist. His advantage now in the championship has ballooned up to 84 points as he won the race today. Benjamin Peterson, that driver who sits second in points, third is Stingray Robb. And we got some in-car audio after Linus Lundqvist scored a second victory here this weekend.
You know, out the Bruton boys. That's a clean sweep.
Checker.
Hell yeah.
Woo-hoo! Yeah!
Good job today.
I'd say he's excited. Linus Lundqvist already into victory lane. Took a dip in the fountain yesterday. That fire suit, I'm sure, dried off. I think he's going to do it again today. Your podium finishers, Stingray Robb with a hard-earned third-place finish. His teammate for Andretti Autosport, Hunter McElroy, doing a really nice job of kind of turning his season around. He's going to finish second. And, again, Linus Lundqvist, for the fourth time in six races this year, is your winner in the Indy Lights Series presented by Cooper Tires. A look at the full field rundown. It was Matthew Brabham who came home in fourth. Daniel Frost got to tip the cap. He held off Peterson, Benjamin Peterson, all day long. Frost finishes fifth. Peterson sixth. Simpson, Saravalle, Rowe, and Francis round out your top ten. Let's hear from some of our competitors. Let's check in first with Ryan Marine.
And I found Hunter McElroy, a big bounce back for you after some disappointment yesterday. How nice is it to have a race one day after the frustration to put that all behind you like you did today?
Yeah, it's a lot better today. Honestly, it's been such a frustrating season, man. Like, on my behalf, I can't believe how many mistakes I've been making, but it's all learning. Overall, you know, Belle Isle's a track I grew up watching, so I'm going to go take a swim in that fountain later, so it's not too bad. I really want to thank the team, all my sponsors, for believing in me. I was pretty angry at myself yesterday, so feels good today to bounce back with a P2. Really want to win though. You know, it's Linus is obviously running away with it right now, so I got to be better, I got to work hard, but overall I'm happy, and it's never a bad day when you're on the podium, and especially to bounce back from yesterday's disappointment.
Enjoy the trip into the fountain.
Thank you.
That's Hunter McElroy, P2 today.
So Hunter McElroy, again, you talked about it and you can hear it. He is looking to turn his season around. Right now he's sixth in points, 120 markers behind, but really just a log jam. Peterson, 84 points back, down to McElroy at 120. So he's certainly second in this championship, very much up for grabs. And we don't want to give Linus Lundqvist the championship just quite yet, but boy, if he continues this pace of winning two out of every three races, this sucker may be his. Let's hear from your race winner and points leader, Linus Lundqvist. A get out the brooms, Joel Sebastianelli.
A Swedish sweep and an emotional victory lane too. You got a hug from your family over there with how this race unfolded today, with how it unfolded yesterday. You were pulling away, but did you ever feel like it was safe until you crossed the line?
It's never safe around these streets of Detroit. You know, it's so bumpy and it's so rough. And, you know, even though, like I said, we had a bit of a gap, but it's not like I'm cruising up front. Obviously, we're pushing 100% all the time, especially with the restarts and just trying to get some temperature in the tires again. You know, the first couple of laps are always a little bit sketchy, but then we kind of settle into a rhythm. So, yeah, really good job by the guys, H&D Motorsport with Dale Coyne Racing. They've done a tremendous job all weekend. So, massive thank you to them. Also, my sponsor for this weekend, Jula. It's great to have them on board, and we made it two wins out of two possible.
You told us yesterday it's too early to start thinking about points, but that lead is up to 84 with your fourth win this season. It's got to feel pretty good heading into this next race now.
I mean, I was lying if I said it didn't feel good. Obviously, it does, but the focus for us, both me and the team, is still just to win races. I mean, that's what we're here to do. That's what we enjoy. That's why we do this. And that's also the best way to try to win a championship, so obviously to win races. But we just take one race at a time, and then obviously towards the end of it, we'll see where we are. If we're in the mix, then happy days.
Has your driver's suit dried off after that dip in the fountain yesterday?
Barely.
You're going to get it wet again?
Oh, yeah.
All right, Linus Lundqvist, the winner again in Indy Lights. Ryan?
And I got the final member of the podium, that Stingray Robb. A nice run today to get back up on the podium. You've done that so well and so consistently all year long. You had a good fight, though, with your teammate there at the end. What was going through your mind, knowing that the team was keeping a close eye on it, I'm sure?
Yeah, you know, coming into the weekend, I said I was tired of third places. Three threes in a row is it's good, but I want to win. So yesterday, I really was pushing hard and going into the wall, going for P2. I think that was a bit of a bold move, but definitely a better day today, just running consistent laps, and felt like a quality session there at the end of the race, just pushing hard, using all the push to pass there at the end. And Hunter did a good job of keeping it clean, and Linus as well. So huge shout out to both of them. They drove well. And thanks to the team, and all the glory goes to God.
How close do you feel to that breakthrough win? Do you think you're knocking on the door?
I think we've been knocking on the door the last three weekends. We definitely have a good enough car to do it. It's just getting off the line a little better and getting our qualities done. So I think that going to Road America, we got a good setup going. We know that track well. I've been there plenty of times, had some good results. So hopefully the momentum will carry into there.
And Stingray Rob, P3 in the final Indy Lights race here on Belle Isle.
Yep, they say if you keep knocking, eventually you'll kick that door in. The only problem is Linus Lundqvist standing in everybody's way for race wins. Again, your podium today, Linus Lundqvist gets the race win. Hunter McElrea second, Stingray Rob is third. Coming up later today, right here on IndyCar Radio, 3 o'clock Eastern Time, live pre-race coverage of the Chevrolet Detroit Grand Prix. I want to thank all the folks behind the scenes, including Chris Pollock, Rick Evans, and Sam Rumsa, for Davey Hamilton, Mark Janes, Michael Young, Joel Sebastianelli, and Ryan Marine. I'm Nick Yeoman. Again, congratulations to Linus Lundqvist. He wins. Indy Lights will be back in action next weekend at Road America, and you better believe we'll be here to cover it. So long for now from Belle Isle in Detroit.
Copyrighted presentation of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network.